Good morning. It is really a delight to be with you this morning. We're all here safe and sound, praise the Lord. And we have opportunity now together to turn to His Word. So would you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You'll find that on page 1196 in the Bibles in front of you. We will be reading just the first four verses of Romans chapter 3. As you recall, Paul has told us that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He's then gone on to point out how all humanity, Gentiles and Jews, are under God's wrath justly. And as Paul does this, he begins to envision man, people, objecting to what he's saying. And so he begins to raise some of these objections as he continues on to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please give ear now to God's word. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we have opportunity now to do what is such a privilege for your people. We've had opportunity to hear your word read to us and to hear it proclaimed now. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive what you have for us today. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, this is the end of January. January is the month where everyone decides that they're going to do something, right? Resolution January. And the end of January is usually the time of the year when we all realize we're not going to keep any of those resolutions. One of the most common resolutions is I'm going to lose some weight and get fit. I have made that resolution many times in my life. And I remember as a 15-year-old, I had resolved to get fit. And so my mother, in her efforts to support me, bought me a year's worth of gym membership. She gave me a year's worth of gym membership. And not only that, she said, Tony, I will take you to the gym any time you want. I will drive you there so that you can get to the gym. And I was pumped. Well, the year came and the year went. And at the end of that year, I gained weight and I was not any fitter than I had been at the beginning. And I went to my mother and I complained. I said, Mother, I had the gym membership. Why didn't I lose any weight? And she looked at me and she said, Son, you never went to the gym. You see, my mother had given me all the privileges I needed to have an effective fitness program. But I squandered the privileges. I squandered my privileges because I was relying on those privileges. I thought that having the membership would do the work. See, here in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is dealing with people who have squandered far greater privileges. Some of his fellow Jews. The Jews had been given great privileges. They were members of God's covenant people. And they were squandering those privileges. How? They were squandering the privileges because they were putting those privileges in the wrong place. They were elevating the privileges above all other things. They were elevating the privileges above the thing that the privileges were pointing them towards. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, they had begun to believe that the privileges they'd been given were what made them right with God. And the result was that they rejected the gospel. The same danger exists for all those of us today who find ourselves in the visible church of Jesus Christ. When we are members in a faithful body, we have glorious privileges. Glorious privileges. But unless we recognize the real value of those privileges, if we begin to depend on those privileges, if we begin to think that those privileges somehow make us deserving of God's righteousness, then we will find ourselves rejecting the gospel. And we will find ourselves having put our privileges in the wrong place. Paul calls on all of us to put our privileges in the right place. And we can do that by recognizing the real value that our privileges carry. And then by refusing to depend on those glorious privileges. And finally, by running to the very one who's given us the privileges that bring us before him. So how can we recognize the value of our privileges? Well, we can do it by following Paul's words here. Paul begins chapter 3 by presenting us with a challenge to his own teaching. Here's the objection that Paul is raising because he imagines people are thinking it. What advantage has the Jew? You see, Paul has just finished at the end of chapter 2 reminding us, teaching us, that no one is made right with God simply because they were circumcised, simply because they were biologically or ethnically a Jew. And Paul imagines that some people may have a problem with that, particularly some Jews. Some Jews may be thinking, well, what was the point then? What was the point with God having his own people? If there's no benefit to being a Jew, what's the point? What's the advantage? Where are the privileges? And Paul rejects that out of hand. He says, no, there was much advantage in every meaningful way. You had many privileges. You see, the Jews had great privileges because they were part of God's covenant people. What were they? Well, Paul will go on in chapter 9 to list a number of those privileges, but for now he mentions simply one thing. The Jews, he says, were entrusted with the oracles of God. That's the privilege. The Jews, here he means the Jews received firsthand, directly, the word of God. The scriptures of the Old Testament, the revelations of God to the Jewish, to the people, to the Israelites, all of God's promises. They received his law, the prophecies. They saw with their own eyes his mighty works for them. These are the oracles of God, and these were entrusted to them. Now, what made these privileges being entrusted to them a privilege? Well, there are a number of reasons, but above all, the greatest privilege was this. The Jews received the knowledge of how man can be made right with God. How man can be saved. They weren't only given the knowledge of how man could be saved, they were also, through these oracles, given the opportunity to respond to that salvation. To respond by faith to the knowledge of how you can be made right with God. That's what the privilege was. No other nation on earth had received that privilege. Through God's covenants, while the rest of the world lay in darkness, God, through his covenant relationship with Israel, shined his light of salvation on them. He invited them to embrace that light, to embrace his gospel. And you see, that gospel, he infused and intertwined it into the very fabric of what it meant to be an Israelite. In their daily lives, they saw and lived and breathed the gospel. Circumcision and the sacrificial system, the festivals like Passover, the teaching of the scriptures every Sabbath, the memorization of God's law that they practiced on a daily basis, the kosher laws, the ritual cleansing laws, all of these laws were there for this purpose. A Jew couldn't eat, he couldn't speak, he couldn't walk from one place to another without being confronted with the gospel. The gospel was proclaimed to them every day of their lives, and not only proclaimed, but they were called to respond to it. That's a privilege. It's a glorious privilege, and all of us who are members of God's visible covenant community today, all of us who are in the church, we have these same privileges. We have God's oracles entrusted to us. We hear them preached and proclaimed every week. Some of us here preach and proclaim them every week. We see them administered visually for us in the sacraments to remind us of God's work for us. We sing them. We read them. We study them day by day. Each day that we are in his community, in his covenant family, We come face to face with the gospel. And we come face to face with a call to embrace it, to love it, to grow in it. Do you understand how privileged you are? Do you understand that you have been blessed beyond all measure? That you have been taught and instructed in the ways of the Lord? I remember as a child, I grew up in a covenant home. I remember as a child, I used to wish that I hadn't grown up in a covenant family. Because I would hear people come and give these glorious testimonies of how the Lord had plucked them out of darkness and brought them into light. And I used to wish that I had a testimony like that. Brothers, I was a fool. I was a fool. I had the glorious privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. I had the glorious privilege of hearing him call me to love him each and every day of my life. I was given over and over again the gospel of grace. Your people in the pews that you will go to soon need to recognize the privilege that they have to be in those pews. They need to understand the opportunity that those privileges give them, the value that our privileges give to us and to our covenant children. Because you see, the problem is if we don't recognize the value of our privileges, if we don't recognize the opportunity that they give us, then we can begin to put our privileges in the wrong place. If we don't recognize that the value of the privileges and the opportunity, then we can begin to depend on the privileges themselves instead of the gospel that the privileges point out to us. That's what Paul's telling us many Jews were doing in his day. He tells us in verse 3 that some of the Jews were unfaithful. They didn't believe, in other words. That's what that particular version of faithful means here. They didn't believe. What didn't they believe? Well, ultimately, they didn't believe the oracles that had been entrusted to them. They didn't believe in the one who fulfilled all those oracles. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the very heart of God's revelation to them. And they didn't only reject him, they crucified him. And as they did that, they were rejecting the oracles themselves. Why? Because they thought they didn't need what the oracles, what the privileges pointed them towards. They thought they didn't need the gospel. They thought they had everything they already needed in the privileges themselves. They thought they had the law, they had the prophets, they had the covenants, they were circumcised, they were sons of Abraham. They thought that's what they needed to be made right with God. And so in this tragic moment when Jesus Christ comes before them and he calls them out, he confronts them and he says, "You're not believing in me." What do they say? "We're offspring of Abraham. We're okay. We're okay." That's depending on your privileges. You know, in Cyprus, when you ask most Greek Cypriots, "Are you a Christian?" they usually say this: "Of course I'm a Christian. I'm a Greek, not a Turk." And what they mean by that is this. They mean, "I was born a Greek, and therefore I was baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church. I go to church twice a year, at least. Christmas and Easter, I'm there, and I take communion. So of course I'm going to heaven. Of course I'm a Christian. Of course I'm saved. Of course I am right with God." Why? Because I'm Greek. That's depending on your privileges. Are you depending on your privileges? Do you think that because you're a part of a good, solid, Reformed church, that you're right with God? Do you think that because you were baptized by a godly man, that you're right with God? Do you think because you're faithful in church attendance, you're going to be made right with God? If you do, you're depending on your privileges. Brothers, our privileges bring us great opportunity and great blessings, but they never do that outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not mechanical means of grace. They cannot make us right with God. Only one thing makes us right with God: faith in Jesus Christ, dependence on Jesus Christ. And if we are depending on our privileges, then we're not depending on Jesus. Brothers, I trust that most of us here recognize that. That's why we're here. But I want you to remember this. Tomorrow you will go out and you will stand up in pulpits and you will preach Sabbath schools and you will proclaim God's word to people who, not all of them, will have understood this. You will have people in the pews and in the chairs before you who are depending on their privileges, who think they've been made right with God because they're good Christians. You've got to expect it. And you've got to warn your people of the dangers. You've got to warn them that their privileges are worth nothing, nothing at all, if they rely on them instead of Jesus. You have to warn them that if they depend on their privileges, then they will be like the prodigal son who thought the privileges were the end game, and he grabbed a hold of his privileges and he ran off and he found himself wallowing in filth, eating pig's food. Cut off from his father. That's where you end up when you depend on your privileges. And here's why. God's oracles do not only reveal the path to salvation, they also reveal the path to condemnation. That's precisely what Paul is pointing out in verses 3 and 4 when he asserts that the faithlessness of some Jews in no way nullified God's own faithfulness. In other words, in no way did it nullify God's commitment to do what he said he would do. God's commitment throughout his word is this: to save those who depend on him, to save those, as Joel says, who call upon his name, and to condemn all others. And that means that all who are condemned prove God right when he speaks. Not in their justification, but in their condemnation. And that's why it's imperative that you do not put your privileges in the wrong place. Instead, you must run to the one who's given you the privileges. That's it. You need to run to Jesus Christ. You need to depend on him alone. And that's what Paul makes clear for us by quoting from David's great psalm of confession. Psalm 51, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. And when Paul brings this psalm to mind, he's not just bringing this verse, he's bringing the whole psalm, the whole context of the psalm to our minds. And you'll remember that David uttered these words after he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba and he'd had Uriah killed. And then Nathan came and confronted him over his sin, and David was broken. And in that brokenness, he goes before the Lord and he cries out. And just before we have this quotation that's here in Romans 3, Paul goes before God and acknowledges that his sin is above all an affront to God. Against only you have I sinned, David says. He knows, David knows, that his sin is deserving of eternal condemnation. He knows that when God condemns the wicked for their sins, that he is justified in his words, he will prevail when he is judged. In other words, God is proving himself true to his word, that he will condemn the wicked. He is proving himself to be just and righteous when he condemns the wicked and the sinner to death. But here's the thing. David isn't condemned. David is not cut off. He's not cast off from God's presence, even though he deserves to be. In fact, he's restored to the joy of his salvation. Why? Well, it's because David isn't relying on his privilege. He had great privileges. But if David had gone before God and said, God, I am a son of Abraham, I am circumcised, I'm your chosen king, so you have to forgive me, God would have cast him off. But David doesn't do that. David runs into the throne room of God's grace, claiming no privilege. He runs in there claiming only God's steadfast love and mercy. That's how Psalm 51 begins. David comes before God claiming only the gospel. And David is restored. He's washed whiter than snow. And in that restoration, just as much as in the condemnation of the wicked man, God is justified in his word. Because God's word is clear. No one who comes before him depending on his privileges will be saved. Not the circumcised Jew, not the devout Greek Orthodox, not the diligent Presbyterian. But everyone who throws himself on the mercy of God, who comes washed whiter than snow in the blood of Jesus Christ, everyone will be granted God's mercy, will be made right with Jesus. And in that restoration, in that salvation, God's word is proved true. That's what David is telling us in Psalm 51. That's what Paul tells us here. That's what you and I and our people need to know every single day of their lives. They can be made right with God only if they run to him clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Brothers, preach this to your people. Preach it to yourselves. You need to value the privileges that bring you to the gospel. You need to put those privileges in their right place, because if you don't, you'll find yourself wallowing in the filth. Put them in their right place. May they lead you to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and may you run to the God who's given you the privileges. May you run to him as David ran. May you go to him and return to him as the prodigal returned. And in fact, you won't run to him. God will come running to you. He will embrace you. Come to him with a broken spirit, with a contrite heart, and you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can depend on it and on it alone. On the glorious work of Jesus Christ, on his love for us. We thank you that we can run to you in him, and that we will be made right with you. May we not depend on anything other than Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, let's turn now and sing Psalm 51, Selection D.